colored eggs become associated with Easter? And Easter itself, where did it originate? There are many variations of the story of where Easter started. Most people think, well, it has to do with the resurrection. But Easter was around long before the resurrection. I'd done quite a bit of reading getting ready for this and got so much information it just kind of blew me over. But one story, and I'm not sure about how accurate this is, but it was on the internet, so you know it must be accurate, right? But it traced it back to Nimrod. Nimrod was Noah's great-grandson. And I don't know how they would get that history and so forth, but anyway, it's traced it back that far. But we are quite confident that it was traced back to the Babylonians. You know, the Babylonians, they're the one who conquered Judah around 600 years before Christ. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that a little bit later. But they had celebrations along that time. But how did Easter, as we think about it, originate? Well, it goes back again to at least of Babylonian times, and they celebrated the spring. And they had a pagan festival where they worshipped idols and so forth along springtime. Well, the Jews, they had Passover, which is also about in springtime. Actually, be this week according to our calendar, this past week. And then, of course, the Christians celebrated the resurrection of Christ, rather, this time. So it seems that all three of these kind of combined eventually into what we know as Easter. It was in 325 A.D. when King Constantine, supposedly he became a Christian. Don't know for sure how genuine that was, but he did promote Christianity. And at the Council of Nicaea, they settled on a date because the Jews went from the Jewish calendar, the 14th day of Nisan, which was the first calendar month when they came out of Egypt and so forth, and they celebrated Passover according to that. And other people celebrated Passover in a different way. So we find that Easter goes back a long way, and the pagans used rabbits as a sign of fertility, because rabbits, as you know, they multiply a lot. And the colored eggs seem to be representing the rays of the sun, because many pagans worshipped the sun. But nothing is said in the Bible about Easter. The King James does have the word one time in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, but it's not translated correctly there. It should be Passover. All other translations that I know of translates it Passover. But in 1611, when the King James was translated, they knew that this holiday was around Easter time, as they called it, I guess, so they called it Passover Easter. But it really should be have reference to the Passover. So we need to be careful in realizing that Easter, as we know it today, with colored eggs and all of that, is not from God, it's from man. And we realize that, as 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, we're not to go beyond the things that are written. Also, in the book of Deuteronomy, the book of Proverbs, and the book of Revelation, we're told basically not to add to or take away from anything that is written. So if we used Easter bunnies and colored eggs and so forth in some sort of a religious way, I don't know that anybody does that, but some people may, then I do not have authority for that in the Bible. But although there's a lot of error taught about Easter and even the resurrection Jesus Christ, Jesus did come forth from the grave on a Sunday morning. And we are so thankful for that. If it wasn't for his resurrection, we would have no hope. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, that if there is no resurrection, then Christ did not raise from the dead. And if Christ did not raise from the dead, then we are still in our sins. We're lost. There's no hope. But since there Jesus did come forth from the grave, therefore we have hope of coming forth also. Jesus was crucified on Friday. Notice a few passages that have reference to that and to the resurrection. Luke chapter 23, beginning with verse 44. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed the last. And we're familiar with the story how that a man by the name of Joseph, he was from Arimathea. In verse 53, he says he took the body down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a tomb that was hewn in the rock in which no one had ever been laid before. That was on a Friday. But then the following Sunday, we'll go to Luke chapter 24, verse 1 beginning. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women came to the tomb bearing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus, and it happened as they greatly were perplexed about this, and behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." We sing a number of songs have to do with Christ being raised from the dead. One of them is "Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes." Just think about all up until the time that Jesus died, there had been a number of people resurrected, but they had died again. But when Jesus was resurrected, he was never to die again. So we have many blessings because of what Jesus did. One day, we will be resurrected too, unless we are alive when Christ comes. I know it's perhaps not pleasant to think about the idea of dying and being buried or cremated or whatever you plan to have for your body. We don't really like to think about that too much. But we realize that that day is coming, and we will go to the grave and be there until resurrection morning. Jesus said in John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled." Don't worry about that or anything else. He says, "You believe in God." James says, "If you believe in God, you do well." "You believe in God, believe also in me," Jesus says. "In my Father's house are many mansions. And if I go, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you." I was thinking earlier today about the time when we lived out in Nebraska. We were associated with a Christian school, and we were having a yard sale there on our property, at our house, and the proceeds were going to go to this Christian school. Well, I went down to the building that afternoon for some particular reason, and there were several people there on the church steps and so forth, maybe 20 or more. And come to find out, they were members of the church. They had taken a bunch of the young people to a church over in Iowa, and they had conducted their vacation Bible school. And coming home, their bus broke down. So they had it towed into the shop, and they come to the church building hoping, I guess, for someone to rescue them. Well, I called Sharon and said, "I'm bringing a bunch of people home for supper and for dinner." And okay, you know. So we brought them home. There was at least 20 or more of them. And a neighbor next door was a member of the church. So some of them stayed with them. Some of them stayed with us. We had a little pop-up camper. We put that up. And they spent the night. But the garage sale was going on. And these people, they hadn't prepared to spend the night with us because all of their clothes and stuff was on the bus. So come time for them to need some clean clothes. Well, they didn't have any. Well, to make a long story short, some of the wives told the men, go out there in the yard sale and find you some clothes. So I remember one particular man, he went out and he come back and he was had on a pair of bell bottoms. Now this was back in the 80s, and bell bottoms, you know, was kind of out of style even by then. And I think a flowered shirt and so forth. I think he'd maybe been the preacher, an elder or something, but he was kind of walking around like that. They were not my bell bottoms. Someone else had donated them. But anyway, they come to stay with us in our house, and that was a blessing. But Jesus says, I go to prepare a place, and I'll go up to prepare a place. I'll come again and receive you into my Father's house, because in my Father's house are many mansions. When they come, you know, we gave some to our neighbor. We put some out in a camper, and I'm not sure what we done with maybe some of the others, but we'd run out of room. But in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place, I'll come again. I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus arose, went back to heaven, and he says, someday he's coming to take us home. That's going to be a marvelous thing. Oh, I know we are a little bit nervous, or at least I am, I guess, sometimes afraid, and sometimes I wish it would happen right now, about going to see the Father in his house. Well, Paul tells what's going to happen, in at least to some degree of information, about what happened when Jesus returns. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be in the air. He also talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and following. Behold, I think I got the right passage. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Men, do you sometimes wish your wives could change in a moment? Or wives, do you wish we could change in a moment? Well, this is going to be more than just changing clothes. We shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed. Talking about what's going to happen to our body. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And when this corruptible has put on the incorruption, and the mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Fear of death, but Jesus destroyed the power of death, and therefore we do not have to fear it anymore. Jesus comes, he's going to come to take us home, but when he comes, we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. The passage that Brother Bill read, 1 John chapter 3, I'll just read verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are children of God. We now, you and me as Christians, we now are children of God. And it's not yet been revealed what we shall be like. Now this was John the Beloved, the apostle whom Jesus loved. You know, he's writing, it's not been revealed. I don't know what we're going to be like. But we know that when he comes, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who has this hope, we want to be like Jesus. We want to have that new body and to be like him and to be prepared to live forever in heaven. We have this hope. And if we have this hope, then we purify ourselves. But think about, we realize we have a problem. If I were to ask you, are you pure in the eyes of God? You may have to think about that for a while. Well, you say, I'm working on it. But are we pure? When Jesus looks down from heaven at us, or God looks down from heaven at us, and if we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, baptized to rise in a new life, then our sins are washed away. But we still don't live a perfect life. But 1 John 1 and verse 7 says, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Christ keeps on cleansing us. Keeps on cleansing us. So the idea is, if I am walking in the light, that does not mean I'm sinless. Because as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of his Son keeps on cleansing us. If there wasn't some sin in our life as we walk in the light, there would be no sin to be forgiven. Not saying that we should try to justify, well, I'm walking the light so I can do what it says. Probably a good indication you're not in the light. But when we're trying, when doing our best to walk in the light, we can stay pure in God's sight. We realize that we all have sinned, though, and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, and the wages of sin is death. But Revelation 1 and 5 talks about Jesus who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood. Why did God send Jesus? Because he loved us. What did Jesus do? Well, he died for us, and this passage says he loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood. Now, he's talking to Christians, of course, there. And we realize how important it is to be prepared. We need to follow the example of Jesus. Jesus died and was buried and arose from the grave. Well, Romans chapter 6 talks about that to some degree. Romans chapter 6, verse 2, how shall we who died to sin live any longer therein? Okay, we died to sin. The idea, Jesus died physically, but we died to sin. We turn from it, we repent. Or do you not know that many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Notice, we pass it there in Revelation 1:5. He loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Well, baptized into his death, that's where he shed his blood. John 19, verse 34, Jesus was hanging on the cross. He was dead. The other two thieves there, had their legs broken so they would die quicker, but Jesus is already dead, and a soldier pierced Jesus in the side, and blood and water came out. He shed his blood in his death, and we are baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Think about the blessings. How much Jesus loved us. He left heaven. That was a great sacrifice in his own. He humbled himself, Philippians chapter 2, and took on the form of a servant, and even the point of death, even the death on the cross. And we've studied and read about and think about that, about how horrible that was. And we remember his death, his burial, and resurrection each Sunday on the Lord's Day. Some people make this day called Easter a very special and may have special services and so forth, but there's no record in the early church of doing anything special like that, or along Christmas time for other anyways. But they did it every week, just as we do it. We celebrate and remember Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We need to believe in Jesus, but believe is more than just a mental assent. Sharon and I, we listen to Bible verses almost every night, and we went through the New Testament already this year, and we're up into Judges, starting back in Genesis. And Numbers and Deuteronomy and Leviticus got a little bit, testing, Sharon said, "Did we just listen to this?" I says, "Yeah, he's telling it again." But one of the stories that we're familiar with is Moses. God tells him, first of all, to strike the rock. He struck the water, and the rock and the water came out. Next time, speak to the rock. But he struck the rock, and then he said something. I think it's what got him in trouble more than just hitting the rock. "Listen, you rebels, must we bring forth water?" "Hey, me and God, we're going to do this for you. We're going to bring some water for you." God didn't like that. He says, "Because you did not honor me," then he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. So our faith in God and in Jesus is more than, "Yes, I just believe." And we think, well, Moses a man of faith? Yes. The Bible talks about Moses being a man, had a relationship with God that no other physical man did. God spoke to him face to face. Not physically, because no one's really seen God, but it uses that terminology to talk about the relationship that God and Moses had. But Moses, he will be in heaven. In Matthew chapter 17, the transfiguration, and Moses and Elijah there appeared, and Jesus was transfigured and so forth. And but if we really believe, we will try to do what God says. Again, note, everyone who has this hope purifies himself. Now, don't think that we have to live a life perfect in our eyes. We need to try, but we're not going to do it. But we can live a life where God sees us as one who has been purified, one who is prepared. We sing a song at camp sometimes, and it's, I think, in some of the song books. I hear it on the Facebook sometimes. It says, "Lord, I lift your name on high. I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high." Notice that last part again. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. I am the way. From earth to the cross, my debt to pay. We had a debt we could not pay. Jesus died for us. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. We think about what God has done and what we are trying to serve him, and we need each other's help, that we can love one another and encourage one another and do what we can to help someone else get to heaven. Sometimes, this congregation is kind of like Ridgedale. We're not a full building full anymore, but if we can help each other get to heaven, that's going to be a great blessing. We need each other. Of course, we need Jesus and God, but we need each other as well. So as we think about these things, I encourage us to, not to get too wrapped up in the earthly things. If you had Easter eggs and bunnies and so forth today and didn't get down and worship them or something, I think you're fine. But of course, we should not use those things in a religious way. But let's realize what Jesus did. He died, he arose, and one day yonder, we'll follow in his steps. Not yet been revealed what we should be like, but we will be like him. And if we have this hope, we try to live the pure life.